Lord, you have been good to us. Lord, it was so refreshing and encouraging to my heart to see people in this congregation standing up before you, testifying to your goodness. And Lord, I know the journey of so many of them, and I know it has not been easy. It has not been a bed of roses, but Lord, you have been good. You have sustained us. You've provided for us. You've walked with us through the darkness. You've brought us into your marvelous light. You've reassured our hearts. You've comforted us. You've blanketed our hearts with your peace. You've brought people into our lives to support and encourage and cheer us. You have been good to us. And Lord, you're just getting started. You are just getting started. You have laid the foundation and, Lord, paved the way for an eternity of bliss walking with you. So we say thank you. You have been good to us. And we ask that now as we turn our attention to your word, that you would open up our hearts and our minds and our spirits to receive, Lord, what you have for us this morning. Meet each heart where each heart is, Lord. Provide the needs that each heart has before you. And so we commend this time to you now in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I also want to say thank you for singing happy birthday, although you weren't supposed to because I wasn't here. But that's Grace's fault. But thank you. It was received and much appreciated. I am baby stepping into my 70th year, slowly shedding denial. Pray for me. That ain't right. That is not right. Praise the Lord. Our theme for this month is spiritual warfare. And our message today is titled, Life in Christ, the Splendor and the Struggle. Life in Christ, the Splendor and the Struggle. And our text passage is the classic John chapter 10, verse 10, which you can turn to. But it's very familiar. You will recognize it, of course, when I begin to quote it. John 10, verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, or have it to the full. Amen to that. Anybody say amen to that? Amen. I say amen to that because I never knew life like this until I met him. I never knew life like this until I met him. Those brothers that led me to Christ back in September of 1978 on the streets of East Lansing, Michigan. They led me to Christ, and then they couldn't get rid of me. Laverne said my conversion experience was like a stray cat being fed. Being fed by strangers, and then I kept showing up on their porch. And I said, boy, that is spot on, because that is exactly what it was. They fed me some Jesus, and I couldn't get enough. I had to find out where the more of that was. I have no explanation for why I'm standing here before you today. I have no other explanation but Jesus. That's the only explanation I have, is Jesus. There is nothing else that could have led me to this place. I had no aspirations of being a pastor. It was not something that was even remotely attractive to me. I had no desire really to be with Christians as much as I was. I went to church, and that was plenty for me once a week. And I was watching the clock in the back to see when 12:20 would strike so that I could leave. My parents raised me in the church. I sang in the choir. I enjoyed singing in the choir. I enjoyed the friendships, and I didn't hate going to church. But church was enough. And I didn't know that there was anything more than that. I thought church was me doing my duty, paying my earth tax to God for being here. And once I fulfilled that obligation, I thought I was done and I was good. I never knew life like this until I met Jesus. So John 10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. And then from the book of Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, it says, in Christ, all the fullness of the deity in bodily form lives. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. Fullness is a word the Lord has laid upon my heart now for several months, thinking about having a full life. And when I think about that, I think about a full adventure marked by pleasures and challenges that reveal rich experiences of His grace and experiencing personal touches of His care, such as we talked about in Sunday school this morning as we went around the table talking about the ways that God shows up in our lives and touches us in unique ways to let us know that He is and to let us know that He knows who we are, that He sees, that He hears, that He knows. Fullness involves just that soul level satisfaction that comes from knowing Him, like a full course meal, not just appetizers or desserts. A full life involves going through struggles and experiencing the exhilaration of coming out on the other side. It's like taking a white water rapids trip and going through the waves, fearing the rocks, getting by, and then getting out on the other side and say, oh, that was great. I almost died, but that was great. Let's do it again. Fullness of life, abundance. And this is not only referring to a future abundant life in heaven when we die. When He says, I came that they might have life and to the full, and when it says, you've been given fullness, it's not just referring to when these eyes close in death and we transition to the next side. I came that you might have an abundant life now, here and now. I have come that you might experience fullness of life right here and now, and then beyond this pale, to experience it without the fetters of this life, without the troubles and the trials, without the vexations of this life. It just gets better. The best thing about walking with Jesus is that no matter how bad it gets, the best is yet to come. So as I have said before, when you talk about a full life and abundance, what does that look like? What does that feel like? As I've said before, Laverne and I are big fans of The Chosen series, which is a dramatized version of the life of Jesus and His disciples. So while we were away at the beach, we watched an episode of The Chosen. And in this particular episode, Jesus was recruiting one of the disciples by the name of Thaddeus. And this is a creative interpretation of Jesus' recruitment pitch to Thaddeus. It's not in the Bible, but it draws from the Bible's truth, and it explores what it might have sounded like as Jesus was giving his pitch. As he spoke to Thaddeus, as he talked to him in general, Thaddeus got hung up on the details of the plan. He wanted to know, okay, where is this going? How is this going to work? How much am I going to get paid? And all these kinds of details. And Jesus wasn't specific enough. And so Thaddeus got up to walk away. And as he was walking away, Jesus began to speak to him. And Thaddeus stops and he turns around. And this is what Jesus says to him about what I'm offering. He says, you'll be part of changing the world, building a new kingdom. Become part of a family, not of relatives, but of blood bonds, just the same. Spend your days with some of the most interesting, unfettered, funny, driven, brave, nurturing, smart, strong, passionate, fiery, loyal, loving, imperfect people to ever walk the earth. You will see and do things you cannot imagine. You'll be adored. You'll be hated. You'll be needed. You'll be lost. And you'll be found. You'll live everywhere and nowhere. You will lose friends. You'll lose all your friends and your own life. You'll go to the ends of the earth and yet be part of the greatest movement on earth. People will say you were a fool, and that I was a fool, and that it was all a lie. They'll call us heretics and liars and frauds. Others will celebrate and venerate your memory and call you a saint. But none of that's the point. The point is that you will have said yes to the world's no. That you hoped against hope and believed against belief. That you surrendered everything and held fast to the very end. Will you follow me? Will you follow me? What I like about this is, though it's not a direct quote, you won't find that dialogue in the Bible, it amplifies statements that are in the Bible. It amplifies statements that Jesus did make, statements to his disciples about the blessings and about the challenges of following him. And Jesus is not saying in the scripture when he talks about the life of a disciple, he's not saying all these things will characterize every Christian's life. All the things that he says will not characterize any one Christian's life. But any of those things might characterize any Christian's life. They're the general elements of a life of what life in Christ looks like. Jesus put it this way from the scriptures, Mark 10, 29. And again, all these verses will be in my notes this evening at valleybrook.church on our website. Jesus said in Mark 10, 29, I tell you the truth. No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. We have, brothers and sisters, this is literally true. We have family all over the world. We have family all over the world. Now, we're a bit conflicted right now and confused right now. We got some infighting going on because we've lost our focus and we've put it on politics, the politics of this earth, instead of on Jesus. But the Lord's going to straighten that out. But in our family, in our global family, and I want to reduce it, I want to even back it up and say, in this room, in this room, we have some of the most interesting, Kevin. Interesting, unfettered, funny, driven, brave, brave, nurturing, smart, strong, passionate, fiery, loyal, loving, imperfect. Amen. People to ever walk the earth. And he's not just talking about present day family. You know, our mothers and brothers and sisters are not just present day, but believers throughout history. Everyone who has named the name of the Lord, all from the past, are awaiting our arrival at our eternal home. Wow. Can you imagine? In John 15, verses 18 through 20, and Matthew 24, 9, this is what the Lord says. If the world hates you, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. You will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. Hated by all nations because of me. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. In our country, we don't wake up with the fear of being dragged off to prison for our faith. But there are many brothers and sisters around the world, just like us, who live with that threat every moment of their lives. But consider the grace of God that allows them to persist in worshiping and proclaiming him despite those threats. Somehow or another, despite the persecution, the grace of God is able to filter in, fill them up, and keep them going, because the Lord is the one. The Lord is the one. It is his might and it is his power that is doing the wonderful things in Jesus' name. John 8:12 says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. This is what the life looks like. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will always have the light of life. I'll open their eyes to see the truth of what's going on. I'll enlighten their minds and their spirits so that they're not stumbling in the darkness. You will have the light of life. It won't always be easy, but I will illumine your path. I remember my sister when she came to Christ. I remember the first words out of her mouth after she said yes to Jesus. She screamed, "Oh, now I see." And her eyes were opened to the truth of who Jesus is right before my eyes. And to this day, I marvel at that. I cannot but marvel. Thinking about what I saw with my own eyes, her eyes opening, and from her mouth saying, "Oh, now I see." And indeed she did. And she still sees. And she came out here during my 40th anniversary and told you she still sees. You will have the light of life. Matthew 11:28, and Sister Grace spoke about this last week. Come to me and I will give you rest. This is the life. This is the splendor and the struggle of the life of Christ that we've been given. Come to me and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. We've been called to rest in him. And as she said, we rest by listening and by living by faith day by day by day. Independence with him. So here's Jesus's pitch versus the evil ones. Jesus tells the truth. He tells it like it is. He says, you're going to have splendor and you're going to have struggle. It ain't going to always be easy. Your faith is not going to be a golden staircase. It's going to be some rough roads ahead. People are going to love you and people are going to hate you. People are going to not want to be around you because you're too religious, and other people are going to want to hug you and squeeze all the religion out of you. Get ready, because it's going to be a mixed bag for you down here. But oh boy, I'm going to be with you. And we're going to do this together. And we're going to come out of those rapids and we're going to say, hallelujah. And your faith in me and your joy in me will mushroom as we walk through this life together. And then one day when you see me face to face and I say, come here, man, come here, girl. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. But Jesus tells the truth. The enemy's weapon is lies. His weapon is lies and deceit. Jesus, his arsenal is all truth. He doesn't promise us life without trials. But the evil one promises sin without consequences. Come on, man. Eat as much as you like. Dip into this as much. Don't resist any temptation or pleasure. Temptation is a state of mind. It's only temptation if you're trying to resist. Stop resisting and the temptation goes away. Come on, man. Lies. Lies. The father of lies. Lies about God. Lies about you and who you are to God. Lies about others. Lies about your relationship with God. That's all he does. Before we come to Christ, the evil one tells us we're all right with God. You're all right. You know worse than anybody else. And probably better than most. And after we come to Christ, he tells us we're all wrong. And you really think God's accepting you as you are? You're a poor specimen of someone who claims to be a Christian. If you're so filled up with God, why is sin leaking out of you? Wait a minute. It ain't leaking. It's gushing. What he won't say, and what we should say, is whether it's leaking or gushing, it's been paid for. Once for all. See, that's what he won't tell you. And that's what we should say. What he won't say and what we should say is, I'm not defined by my sin, but by the righteousness of my Savior, Jesus Christ. And I make no claims of righteousness beyond the cross of Christ itself. And may I never boast in anything but the cross of Christ. And you know what? He's still working in me. You see, I'm not where I'm gonna be. I'm not where I wanna be. But thank God, I'm not where I was. The heart and soul of following Jesus, of embracing this life. We talk about following him. The heart and soul of following Jesus is Jesus. Duh. Who would have ever thought? Right? The heart and soul of following Jesus is Jesus. It's not complicated. We make it about other things. But Jesus himself is the difference. When he rose from the dead, his directions to the disciples was to go and make disciples of all the nations. But he didn't end that great commission by giving them a blueprint. He ended it with a promise. I will be with you always. How are we going to do this, Lord? I will be with you always. That ain't no plan. You getting ready to go back up into heaven and leave us down here, and that's all you got to say? I'm going to be with you? What do we do? I'll be with you. Just hang around the city, and a few days from now, you'll be all right. The helper's going to come. And he's going to live inside of you. And your job then is not to lay out some big blueprint. Your job is to respond, to listen and respond, to engage. I got the plan. All you need to do is follow. I've got the plan. I've got the map. You don't need the map. I got it. And if I showed it to you, you wouldn't understand it anyway. Why do you want me to go here, Lord? Why does this have to happen? Why does she have to be a part of my life? Why does he? So you just argue with the plan anyway, so you don't need it. How do we fight? We talk about spiritual warfare. How do we fight? We fight by following. That's how we fight. We fight by following. We fight by following him, not by turning into individual Rambos. Everywhere we're going, Jesus is already there. Even in tribulation, that's where we're going to, because he said that's where we're going. Even in tribulation, he's there. He says, follow me. When you encounter that trial, I'm already there. Just follow me. The abundant life is found in the fullness of our relationship with Christ. It's not in our environment or in our present or future circumstances. That's not where it is. When Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it to the full, he wasn't talking about a set of circumstances that define that life. He was not talking about any condition that you may have. He didn't make any exceptions for when you're in trials. Well, the abundant life is over here, but when you're in trials, got to wait till you come out, and then you'll be having the abundant life. No. The abundant life follows you wherever you go, whatever you're in. You know why? Because the abundant life is about your relationship with him. It's not about the situation itself. It is about your relationship with him. And that is why the abundant life followed Paul and Silas into prison. And that's why they were singing hymns of praise, though they'd been scourged and though they were inside this dark, dank, small, nasty prison. And the other prisoners, like, what y'all singing for? Don't y'all know where y'all are? Yeah, we are. We're in Christ. That's where we are. Well, y'all thought you were. Yeah, I'm in Christ. I'm in this prison, but you know what? I'm in the inner sanctum of Christ. I'm sheltered and protected by him. His embrace follows me wherever I go. That's what the abundant life is, brothers and sisters. Remember this. It's not the wisdom of our plans or the comfort of our situation. It's about the quality of our connection. The abundant life It's not about the wisdom of our plans. It's not about the comfort of our situation. That will come and it will go. There will be splendor and there will be struggle. The abundant life doesn't come from the comfort of our situation. It's about the quality of our connection. So based on this, I would take poetic license with the dramatization of Jesus's pitch to Thaddeus. I would render it like this. But none of that's the point. The point is that you will have said yes to me, to the world's no to me. That you hoped in me against hope. On your best days and your worst, that you believed in me against natural belief. You believed that I was bigger than what should happen. You believed that I was able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that you would ask or imagine. Even if what it was that you feared came to pass. You believed like Abraham, even if I have to kill my son, God can raise him from the dead. And so you did not let natural belief impede your faith in me. You believed against belief, and that you surrendered everything concerning you. Everything concerning you. All your anxieties, all your hopes, all your dreams, all of it, you surrendered it to me to the very end. Will you follow me, Sarah? Will you follow me, Abigail? Will you follow me, Paul? Will you follow me, Donna? Will you follow me, Theresa? Will you follow me, Gina? Will you follow me, Falami? Where are we going, Jesus? That's next week. The ultimate conquest of the evil one in this struggle, the ultimate conquest of the evil one will take place on the appointed day already established by God. The day described in Revelation 20:10 when it says, "And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." So as we live our lives in the now, until then, let us embrace with hope and joy and prayerfulness and dependence the splendor and the struggle with reliance upon our magnificent, wonderful, unfathomable Lord, Savior, and friend, Jesus the Christ. I'm done.